Good when God's people assemble. Amen.
Amen.
We come together to hear a fresh word from our Baba, to hear a word from a father that loves us.
Amen.
He is a father that no man on earth could ever be compared to. And it's a shame that many times that's what people do. They want their daddy to be just like God. And that's one person you cannot outdo. Amen.
Amen.
Verse number 5. I want to read verse number 5. I'm going to read the entirety of it. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, the prince, ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who ever loves us and has once for all loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, over the next several minutes, as we speak your word, we ask God that you would minister like only you can, that you would prepare our hearts, Lord, that we can receive the engrafted word. Irregardless as to our position in life, we all need to hear more from you. So we ask this day, God, that you would speak in such a profound way that we will know we have spent quality time with you. We love you and we appreciate you for what you're about to release. Bless those listening to this audio transmission, those viewing this wherever they may be. Allow them to tap into what is right. We honor you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated in his presence.
You
know, as I was preparing to come to church, to our assembly, I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, you need to ask the people if they're born again, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Not just you attend church, not that you like the singing, but has the blood of Jesus been applied to your life? I'm going to talk today about the blood of Jesus. And for those of you who have not gone by way of the blood, you need to pay attention, because this is the only thing that can bring you out of our current state.
Amen.
The only one that can bring freedom to our mind is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that can wash away all sin, all guilt, is the blood of Jesus. So everything that exists in time has a beginning. You have a beginning. It's called a birthday. You know what? As a result of this, everything that has a beginning is subject to the law of increase and the law of decrease. The Bible talks about seed time and harvest. Genesis 8, verse 22. It's seasons or times for which things occur. I want to tell you something, even right now, that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot be fit into this time zone. Time also subjects us to becoming, or what I wrote down as fruition. In the proper space of time, you become something. Given so many years, an infant becomes an adult. Given so many years, we grow old. Time does something to us. Time also, you'll see this is true, will bring decaying in our life. There's a decaying process that happens every day. You know, a beautiful flower, it begins as a bud. And then it slowly blooms to reveal its beauty and the colors that's so radiant. But once again, in a matter of time, it begins to decay. The beautiful rose that's in a bouquet will have to be thrown out in a matter of time. Unless it's not real, it's going to die. And so you and I need to understand how important it is for us to pay attention to time. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 8, we're told, the grass withereth. It does. I keep watching that. The flower fadeth, I just alluded to that. And yet there's a transition. It says, but the word of our God, it shall last or live forever. So that tells us we need to have the word of God embedded, implanted within us more than the material things of this world. You know, this lower baser part of life, this world, has a tendency of gripping us. And there are things that we look, you know why people buy new cars? Because it looks good. And the odds are most people who buy new cars don't need new cars. But it looks good. And they're like, wow, that's very appealing. Some like it because it might be the only one like that. I was reading a story with great interest, and I have to chuckle. It's a local sportscaster here. He worked hard all of his life, and he wanted to buy him this nice truck. And he bought the truck, and he loves his truck, he says. But because the price of gas is going up, he says, I have to trade it in and get something that I hate. Think about that. This guy comes on television and radio. He makes a lot of money and been in broadcasting for, well, almost 40 years. Yet the very thing he loved, he said he had to give up because gas is too expensive. His wife says, but you long for this all your life. He says, yeah. He says, but I can't afford the gas. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't know his religious background, but as a believer in Jesus, if you tithe and you give any offering, I don't care if gas comes to $50 a gallon. If God says that's for you, you better drive it. I'm not going to be led by my feelings, because feelings can kill us. There are some people who went to one side of the island that shouldn't have gone there, but they were compelled by their feelings. As a result, they got whooped or they got killed. So you have to be careful about things in life. Now, we look at some very, very interesting things. When we look at the blood of Jesus, we need to understand it is not bound by time. When we talk about the blood of Jesus, it is not bound by time. It can never decay or become corrupt. Why is that? Because sin, which causes corruption, sin has a beginning. Jesus has no beginning or ending, the Bible says. So you cannot say, well, Jesus, you know, like Jesus. No. The Bible says he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. The blood of Jesus is precious because it's sinless. Now, I know I've been teaching a whole lot on the blood, but I really believe even at this juncture, there's much more for us to tap into that we already stated. Somebody said, well, if Jesus drowned, remember the time he was sleeping on a ship and he was asleep on a pillow, the Bible says, and the water was coming in the ship and his posse was freaking out. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Get up. And the Bible says he got up, rebuked the wind, rebuked the waves. And then he turned to them, he says, oh, ye of little faith. I'm here to tell you right now, Jesus could not have drowned in the Sea of Galilee. Amen. Jesus could not drown in the Mediterranean or even a Dead Sea. Even at his baptism, he couldn't drown in the River Jordan because God didn't send him here to drown. There's only one way for him to die. That would be on a cruel cross. So when Satan told him, hey, jump off the building, that's committing suicide, right? And sometimes the enemy like to tell us to do crazy stuff like that. Tell the devil to jump off the building. He says, get a gun and shoot yourself. Tell the devil to shoot himself. Well, he can't because he already committed suicide, see? His fate is already sealed. Yours is not. If Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, you stick with him. If he's not Lord of your life, come to him before it's too late. So anyhow, the blood of Jesus tells us so much things that if you begin to investigate it, you find out the truth that it was not the plan of God for his son to come here, live a long life, retire, and then enjoy the rest of his family, and then one day just slip off into glory. No, his son was sent here to die on a cross as a sacrificial lamb. So I'm telling you, no rock could kill him. No spear could thrust him. No sword could dice and cut him up. Because Jesus came to die only but one way, and that was on the cross. And as a result of that, his death was not going to be wasted. His death would mean a lot to everybody, but most of all to his Father. So when we talk about the blood of Jesus, one of the things you have to look at is a phrase called the will of God. It's amazing how the plan of God
many times goes against our own plans. The plan of God for our life doesn't fit into what we would think would be a model for us to do. There are some things in God that we have to do that we don't want to do naturally. But if it's the plan of God, it's the will of God, you have to do it. Even Jesus says, Father, not my will, but your will be done. What was he saying? He's saying, don't let anything on this world cause me to sway from doing what you sent me here to do. That's a very important point right there. Because a lot of us come to church and we still don't do the will of God. You know, if I had a dollar for every time people told me, I'll see you in church, I'd be very rich today. But I don't go by what people tell me. See, this is my calling. I used to drive a tour bus packed with tourists, and I'd tell them all kinds of stories about our islands. But that was in my rush. That was in my high. God used that as just a stepping stone for me. In broadcasting, I spoke to thousands and thousands of people. Still do. But that's not my rush. My rush is speaking the Word of God. This is what I live for. This is what I long to do. The Bible says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 5:1, verse number 5, the latter part. So the blood of Jesus freely flowed that day on Calvary so life could come to us. That's how we get everlasting life. So let's talk about some things here in point number one. Go to 1 John, please. Chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, the epistle of John. Chapter 5. We want to look at a scripture verse here. The Bible declares, as I talk about three witnesses on earth, the Bible declares, and there are three witnesses on earth. Look what it says right here. Now, you know there's a lot more witnesses on earth. But when it comes about talking about the Son, the Bible says, there are three witnesses on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in unison. Their testimony coincides. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. And the Bible says there are three that bear witness on earth. So let's say we had a court scene and God was to call three witnesses. The first witness he'll call up is what? The Spirit. Capital S means that's not just an ordinary spirit, but that's Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit was there to witness. See, what are they going to witness? They're going to witness the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to witness his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The second witness, according to the Word of God, is the water. Now, the water represents baptism. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 16, Jesus said, whosoever is baptized shall be saved. See, baptizing you, the reason we are water baptized, we're not sprinkled. You ever seen somebody at a cemetery just have some dirt sprinkled on them? Oh no, you gotta bury that joker. Because sprinkling dirt on them is not going to put them away. So water baptism. See, many churches disagree on how you do baptize. Some say they can just sprinkle you with water. Others say they splash you with some. Well, we believe in taking you all the way down. Every time we buried a dead body, we made sure they went 6 feet, at least 6 feet down. Why? Because we don't want them to come back. Stay there till the appointed time. Amen. So what does water represent? In Mark 16, Jesus says that you and I need to be water baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why is that? Because on earth, water baptism, after your conversion, represents that you're aligning with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what baptism represents. It doesn't represent potluck for the church, and so we can go down the park and be happy for you. Baptism shows you need to die. You need to be crucified. So when we begin to look at and investigate the Word of God, we begin to see a lot of different things here. What else do we see here? We understand the Spirit, according to the Word of God, in John chapter 14, verse 26, He's given to the church. He's not given to the world. He's given to the church. You know, you can have a child and give them a car. You know, my granddaughter was with me. And you know, we were together last evening and then this morning. As much as I love her, I will never give her the keys to my truck. She can ride in my truck. I mean, she can say, but you're my papa. But that don't give you rights to my truck like that. See, so when Jesus Christ was given to the world, only those who accepted him could actually receive him. But the Bible made provision for everybody to accept him. But when you pull pa kiki, when you hard head, you don't want to accept that which God tells you is better for you. You tell a young person, okay, here, you can sit down and eat Hot Pockets, or you can have a nice meal. They won't choose Hot Pockets. Well, at least the average child will, because they don't want this. Oh, ma, you take too long to cook. I'll microwave this. And that's the sad thing about living in a microwave generation. Everything we want too quick. One thing I find out about microwave, though, when you cook in a microwave or reheat in a microwave, you don't watch out, you can get burned. And I find in this microwave generation, there's a lot of burned people walking around. The Holy Spirit confirms that the water was used for baptism. The Holy Spirit confirms that the blood of Jesus was shed. What's the blood of Jesus for? Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there'd be no forgiveness of sin. So where do we stand today? There's a number of scriptures I want to drop in your lap. Three witnesses on earth. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. I want to give you enough scripture so that you can look at the Word of God and say, wow, God dropped all these scripture verses in there. And why didn't I pick up on it? Well, don't get bad on yourself or hard on yourself. Let's investigate the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse number 18 and verse number 20. Listen to what it says here. Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place under these circumstances. Once again, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. When his mother Mary had been promised in marriage to Joseph, before they had sex, she was found to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. See? Now, you have one religious group who say that the reason Jesus was born was because God, his father, was once a man and he had sex. Not what the Bible says. Then you have another religious group who say that if Jesus is the Son of God, then that meant God had to have sex. Once again, religion doesn't show you everything. They only show you what they want you to see, but not what you need to know. All right, verse number 20 says, but as Joseph was thinking this thing over, because she said to him, Mary told him, I'm pregnant. He says, oh, can't be, because we're going to get married. And she says, but this is not, don't worry about it. You know, come on. Here you're going to get married, and your fiancé tells you, honey, I love you, but I'm pregnant. And you're pregnant. And you know you never had nothing to do with this being pregnant thing. And you say, what? And she says, oh, but don't worry. It's of God. Oh, come on. You got to call Montel right there and says, look, you call Jerry Springer for me because I want to come on TV and talk about this one. So now Joseph, he's sitting down. He's like, man, I love this girl. I paid the price for her to be my wife. And now she's telling me she's pregnant. So he's thinking about this. He's thinking about this. Verse 20, Matthew chapter 1 says, as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is out of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's pretty powerful right there, huh? That's to get up perspiration all over you. That was a bad dream. I rebuke that. But no, the Bible says, the angel goes on to say in verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. We say Yeshua. Yeshua, the correct name, Yeshua. For he will save his people from their sins, that is, prevent them from failing and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. Imagine that. Jesus is sent so that we don't miss out God. Let me tell you, without Jesus, you're going to miss God. Religion can't give you God. Religion give you a form of godliness. Religion will make many promises. You know, there's a lot of religions who give you symbolism over substance. Oh, they got the clothes, they got the icons, they got everything. Symbolism. But there's no substance. Jesus is the substance. Amen. We don't need symbols. He's the substance. Say amen, somebody. Verse 22 says, all this took place that it might be fulfilled which the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which when translated means God with us. That's powerful, huh? That is powerful. See, I'm building a case for us here. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Let's look at verse number 35. Luke chapter 1, verse number 35. This is what it says. Listen. The angel, now talking to Mary. The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Because she just told, the angel told her, you're going to have a child. She said, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No premarital sex here, Miles. I don't play that game. Now the Holy Spirit have to explain. Now remember, there was only once this happened, okay? No matter how many women say this is how they got pregnant, only once this happened. All right? Everybody else, a bunch of liars. Come on, somebody. They jumped over a fence. They snuck around a wall. They paid somebody a visit. There's only once time in Scripture right here. Okay, the Bible says, the angel said to her, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. See? Sisters, if the Holy Spirit didn't come on you, then somebody else did. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow you like a shining cloud. Shining cloud. How's that? And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring, which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. Oh, that's powerful. Now the angel just spoke to one, Mary, and the angel spoke to Joe Boy and told Joseph, don't worry about it, son. All right, we're building our case here, everybody. Let's go to Luke chapter 3 now, verse 16. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. You got to see this. You got to see this. We're giving you this all for free. So you go home, you write this scripture down, go home, you study this, you say, goodness gracious, it was there the whole time. In Luke chapter 3, verse 16, it talks about baptizing, the water baptism, right? Watch. John answered them all by saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals, watch, I am not fit to unfasten. Listen to this. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John basically is telling all the Israelites coming down to the Jordan River, I can make you wet by putting you in the water, but somebody's coming who's going to give you the fire. Now I want to throw something else to you, okay? Understand how God worked things out. There's a process. God just didn't just slam everybody with baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's a process. He just didn't send his son when Adam screwed up over in Eden. There's a process. God calls it time. There's a beginning for sin. Sin, where did sin affect? Sin affected heaven. Hence the Bible teaches that the blood of Jesus had to be offered up in heaven. Not just here on earth. It took place on earth, but it had to be offered up in heaven. So I want to share some things with you. Go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in by the Holy Spirit. Why? What was he doing? Well, he was out there. He's going to be tempted, right? Look at verse number 14. Jesus went back full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, that's his home, and the fame of him spread through the whole region round about. Well, he didn't even start his ministry yet, and the fame of him is spreading. What happened? That's what happens when the Holy Spirit is in your life. Things begin to change in a great way. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus speaking. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. See, this is why I keep telling people, that's the people God sends me to. A lot of preachers like to go and preach to the rich folk, because rich people can give good offerings. But if the truth be told, now I worked in the service industry, I worked in tourism, a lot of times the rich people, they didn't tip. It was the commoners who tipped. Rich people think they're above it all. They expect you to serve them. So many times when I saw that we were carrying rich people, you didn't expect no tip from them. Because these people think they don't stink. They're the best, they feel. But it's people like you and me, the commoners, we take care of each other. Good example is the rich man. Jesus says, the story there in Luke's gospel, chapter 16, there was a rich man. He dined sumptuously, had everything, had the best clothes. But right outside his gate was a poor guy that he wouldn't even share his leftovers with. That's calamity, see. That's how life is. Jesus came for those who were caught up in calamity. That's me. That's how he could save me from Waimanalo. That's how he could come out and get me and say, I love you so much. I have made provision for you. We're talking about the blood of Jesus and how you need to recognize what it does for you. Go to Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, sometimes when you cook, you end up using more ingredients than at other times. If you're going to cook, like if you need to cook, like if you're going to cook chopped steak, okay, it's not just chopping a steak and frying it. That's not chopped steak. That's sauté. But you have to get the vegetables. So you're going to get the onions and the ginger, the garlic. You know, you get broccoli. You go and get carrots. You get cabbage. You get all those things that you want to put inside to make your stir fry, your chopped steak. See? Some don't want that. Some just prefer the meat. Wonderful. But if I'm going to have chopped steak, then I expect to see vegetables in it. So today, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. Sometimes when I preach, I give a few scriptures. But this is a good meal. So don't forsake the scriptures. Amen. Take all the ingredients. Come on now. So we see here, what did I tell you to turn? Romans 8, verse 11. Look what it says. And if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he's supposed to be dwelling in us, who are born again, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So the spirit of Jesus dwells in us. And this is what makes us get up in the morning. Your spirit says sleep. Your body says, say amen. But it's the spirit of Jesus that says, get up, for this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, for this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Tell the truth, there's some days you just don't want to face. There's some days, I mean, you know, people who got their pink slip don't want to face going to work again because they got to clean out their desk. They got to clean out their cubbyhole. They got to clean out their locker. Why? They have no more job. They don't want to. They don't want to go, but they have to. They have to. Why? Because that's time. I'm so grateful. Listen to me. I worked for two companies that closed down. I know how it feels not to have a job. But you know those two companies I worked for couldn't hold me back because I was a tither. I gave in the offering. And even though on unemployment, God blessed me to buy a house. That's a testimony I will keep forever. I should not have gotten a house. But God says, you gave to me, now I'll give back to you. So you ain't never going to prove to me that because you're on unemployment, you can't give your tithes and offering. You are on whackness. See, I could have said crack, but I'm not going to do that to you. But you are definitely on whackness. Because the last thing you need to do is withhold from God. See, now when you go to these financial advisors and financial counselors, and they look at your checkbook, they're going to inquire, what is this that you're giving? Who's this? Oh, that's my church. What are you doing? Well, I give them 10% of my gross. In addition to that, I... Oh, no, you know what? You can't afford to do that. Now, you know, you look how much money you save every month if you didn't give that. Don't listen to them because they're carnal. They're of the world. God's system and the world system is totally opposite. If you have a need, God says you need to give. See, giving overcomes greed. Look, our church is not going to have to stand by no intersection with fishnets and collect money. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something right now. This society is finding every way possible to tap people of money. And a lot of these folks who give at the intersections, they don't even give God an offering or a tithe. And they feel good. Well, I gave them $2. I feel good. What? Who are you, James Brown? You got to go beyond feeling good. Ow! Come on, somebody. Got to go beyond that, amen? This has to be part of your life. I don't even second guess giving God. Half my check. Take the whole check if you want them. Why? Because I trust Him. If God is up to something, I want to be there where He's up to it. Says, I'm like, I don't want that, man. I'm going to pay my bills. Listen to me. When you die and you're not debt-free, your bill's going to still be here. You know why your family going to sit by your casket and cry? They're trying to figure out how they're going to pay the bill. But you need to start giving to God. I mean, give heavily to God. I had no problems buying liquor when I used to drink. I had no problems acquiring dope when I used to toke. It wasn't like $3. You know you had to pay. And so we would do it. Why? Because we're going to enjoy it. Well, now I'm serving Jesus Christ. You think I'm going to loathe giving to Him? Negative. I love giving to God. We used to sing that song. We're hardly singing now. I love to praise Him. I love to praise His name. I love to praise Him. And those who agree say, I love to praise His name. And I notice in that song, not everybody sings. Because not everybody loves to praise Him. I love to praise His what? Holy name. And those who are embedded and they're secured in Him says, He's my rock. He's my rock. My rock, my sword, my shield. Then we start going off thinking like we have this tire company. He's my wheel. You don't even understand that. That's in the book of Ezekiel. A wheel in the middle of the wheel, I know He'll never, what? Never let me down. Then we go to the store. He's just a jewel that what? I have found. Praise you, Jehovah. Praise you, Jehovah. That's hallelujah, right? I love to praise His name. I love to praise His what? Holy name. Why? Because He's my rock. See, some of you are on a stone, so that's why you can't sing that song. Some of you are on sand. But He's my rock. My rock, my sword, my shield. He's that wheel. Well, I won't sing that. So, the Holy Spirit contributed the blood of Jesus. It is sinless blood. Write this down. The Holy Spirit who overshadowed Mary contributed the blood of Jesus. Because it is sinless blood, it is divine blood. Listen to me. Because it is sinless blood, it is divine blood, it is precious blood. Peter tells us that in 1 Peter 1:18. For there has never been any other like it. Matthew 27:4, you know what it says? Judas declared, it is innocent blood. Well, that's powerful stuff right there. Innocent blood. Innocent blood. I've learned one thing in studying this. The blood and the spirit are inseparable. 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 Natalie Cole sang that song. Inseparable. That's the blood and the spirit. They're inseparable. For only through the blood can the Holy Spirit dwell in man. Do you think the Holy Spirit will dwell in you because you got saved and that's it? You don't need no more blood? That blood is on your life every day. For life in this flesh, without the blood, you die. So Holy Spirit in the blood lives in you. You know, in your being born again, in redemption, the activities of the blood and the Holy Spirit are inseparably connected. You will never pull the blood away from the Spirit. This is something that we as believers don't even comprehend. You know, we talk about being sanctified. Sanctified means set apart, right? Sanctification comes through both the Spirit and the blood. Now you say, why do you have to teach us this? Because you don't have to take what the devil has to offer. He'll offer you just a whole can of beans. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Point number 2. Hebrews chapter 9. The blood of Jesus, you know what it does? Purges sin. Hebrews chapter 9. Now I don't expect everybody to do cartwheels over the message on the blood, because it sounds a little morbid. But the life of the flesh is in the blood. Extract the blood from your life. We have to give you your family $20 and see you no more. For some people, probably that's a blessing. Look at verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 9. It says, how much more surely shall the blood of Christ, watch, who by virtue of his eternal spirit, his own pre-existent divine personality. Did you hear that? There's no time. Pre-existent divine personality has offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice to God. Listen to this. The blood talking about, right? Purify our consciences from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God. The blood possesses its power to cleanse and to make us fit to serve the living God by the eternal Spirit who was in our Lord when He shed His blood. You need to hear this. The shedding of Jesus' blood was brought about by the eternal Spirit, and that the Spirit lived and worked in that blood. So now we understand better that the blood of Christ could not decay as a dead thing, but as a living reality, it could be taken up to heaven to exercise its divine power from there. So today, the blood of Jesus works for us from heaven. It's not on our bodies, but it's there in the temple in heaven. It's as fresh today as it was the day it dropped. Oh, boy. Listen, the blood is the life of man. The Spirit is the life of God. The blood that you and I have is the life of man. The Spirit that possesses us is the life of God. That should make you happy right there. I'm telling you, saints. Yeshua gave His life in entire surrender to the will of God as a satisfaction of the penalty of sin. When He says, Father, not my will, but your will be done, that was His last wrestling match right there. He says, this is going to take me away from my Father, because I see what sin has done to everybody on this planet. But understanding He was going to become the sin sacrifice, sin was going to be placed upon Him. He says, not my will, but your will be done. This is then how we should live our life. Free from our will and totally engulfed in God's will. Our will tell us to do what we want to do. You know that old saying, if it feels good, what? Do it. But if doing what feels good is against the will of God, guess what? Don't do it. But we wrestle with the don't side when we should shoot that don't side. We need to stand up and say, Lord, you know, saints, and I'm not telling you to do something that's difficult. It was proven that Jesus could do it. Yeah, but He was the Son of God. Hang on now. The Bible says He was tempted in all points like we are, yet He chose not to give in to temptation. Because He knew the moment He would give in to temptation, He would be out of the will of God. So if you and I want to be in the will of God, guess what? We got to shoot down our wills. Oh, I'd like to do plenty of things. I can tell you right now. I got a list of things I'd like to do. But I have to torch them. Have to ignite it. Why is that? Because that list is going to take me to hell. Tell the truth. Oh, there's some things I'd like to. Yeah. God says, don't go there. Bum, 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 bum. Don't touch that. Bum, bum, bum. Don't touch that. You can't be touching some stuff. Come on now. You know, when Jesus was crucified, when this was accomplished, it was possible for Jesus, watch, to receive the Spirit from the Father that he might pour him out. What? They say Jesus is the Son of God. Go with me to John chapter 7, verse 39. I want to show you this powerful scripture verse. John 7, verse 39. Are you getting something out of this? Thank you. Thank you very much.
One for the money. To go to the show. Going after church. You're gonna go.
We having problems in our house.
Don't go to the show. There are many spirits in there. Jumping all over your children and yourself. Watch enough junk and junk's gonna come in you.
This is why we say feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Verse 39. Listen to what it says here. John chapter 7. Well, let me read verse 38 and it'll flow into 39. Watch this. Let me read verse 37 too. Watch this. Now, on the final and most important day of the feast, Yeshua stood, he cried in a loud voice. Listen to what he says. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Springs and rivers of living water. But he was speaking here of the Spirit whom those who believed, trusted, had faith in him, were afterward to receive. Watch. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified, raised to honor. So the Holy Spirit could not be poured out until Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. This is Niagara Falls. There are actually three falls that comprise of Niagara Falls. Two on the side of America, and even the one on Canada's side encroaches. A third of that falls is in America. But the Niagara Falls has yet to run dry. Millions of gallons pours over Niagara Falls. Millions of gallons. If the water don't dry up here in Niagara Falls, Spirit of God cannot dry up. The blood of Jesus will never run out. I want to give you a visual aid here. Niagara Falls, with all its splendor and beauty, will not run out until God say run out. I'll flip this one on you. The blood of Jesus will never run out. Only add 5 quarts like us. But this blood is so powerful. This blood is so real. And it took the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for us to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the blood is ever waiting for sinners to come. Come ye sinners, lost and hopeless. Listen, Jesus' blood can set you free. For it saved the worst among you. When it saved the wretch like me. And I surely know. Listen to this. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I surely know. Jesus' blood can make
Hugh Hefner clean. Jesus' blood can make Paul Kamanu clean. Jesus' blood can make any sinner, the vilest sinner, clean. And you say, preacher, how do you know that? And I know. Listen, I surely know. 1979, it happened in my life. Jesus' blood can make going to church Paul Kamanu, drinking Paul Kamanu, giving tithes Paul Kamanu, giving offering Paul Kamanu, but on my way to hell Paul Kamanu. Jesus' blood can make this big Kanaka free. And I know. I didn't read this in a book. This happened in my life. I surely know. Wayne, Jesus' blood can make. Mavis, Jesus' blood can make. Anthony, Jesus' blood can make. Koi, Jesus' blood can make. Rachel, Jesus' blood can make. Rosemary, Jesus' blood can make. Diana, the vilest sinner. Sabrina, clean. He's greater than Niagara Falls. He's greater than all of the water on Wai'ale'ale. He's greater than the best sunrise to be seen at the house of the sun, Haleakala. This blood of Jesus is so powerful. Here's point number three. The blood of Jesus is eternal. Hebrews chapter 9. Oh, I'm excited, saints. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 12. Hebrews 9, verse 12. The Bible says, He went once for all into the Holy of Holies of heaven, not by virtue of the blood of goats and calves, by which to make reconciliation between God and man, but His own blood, having found and secured a complete redemption, an everlasting release for us. An everlasting release for us. One of the favorite songs of many people years ago. I mean, they would sing it inebriated. They would sing it cleaning house, driving down the street. Please release me, let me go. I tell you right now, in 1979, when I received Jesus Christ into my heart, He released me from all charges of sin against my life. I mean, listen, in God's court, I was guilty. The prosecutor was right. That prosecutor, the devil, says, come on. Oh, yeah, he's Thelma's kid. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He's playing drums in church. He's singing tenor in the choir. But that boy ain't got no blood on his life. Therefore, by virtue of that authority, he needs to die and go to hell. Let him get in an accident. And I was in an accident. But God spared my life. Satan said, I'm going to use asthma to kill him. And five different times, he nearly got away with it. But God had a plan. I don't know when you're going to get saved, but I know salvation's available. And Jesus shed His own blood. Didn't bring in the blood of calves and of goats. What is eternal has no beginning and knows no change or weakening, because it has in itself a life that is independent of time. In what is eternal, there is no past which has already disappeared and is lost. And there is no future not yet possessed. It is always, listen to this, it is always a glorious and endless present. Amen.
Eternal means it's a glorious and endless present. I'm not waiting to die to go to heaven. I got heaven with me now. People sing the song, oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. See, but you have to go to the streets of glory to say this? I can say it here. Cares all past, I'm home at last, ever to rejoice. Earlier in the week, I went to a memorial service. My friend's mama passed away. I went to a service, one on Wednesday, one on Thursday. Two mamas died. The difference in the service, I'll show it to you. One mama raised in church, daddy pioneered the church, but there's no indication she accepted Jesus Christ. She died at the age of 77. The other mama, I don't know if her daddy was a pastor, but at the age of 70, when she died, Jesus was Lord of her life. So by the casket out there, by the graveyard, the son that's leading, the youngest boy, who's a preacher, is conducting the service. And then he stops and he looks. And he puts his head down. I mean, I know you could sense this guy was, he's touched. He's not going to hold mama no more. He's not going to hold mama no more. And he's looking at the casket. I said, work it, son, work it. One of my spiritual sons, I said, work it, work it. All these people around him in their nice clothes and everything. He looked at the casket. He says, Jesus is the reason I live. And oh, what a reason. Jesus is the reason I live. And oh, what a reason. There's nothing in this world worth living for. It only makes you empty, longing for more. Jesus is the reason I live. And oh, what a reason. And he said, you know, everybody, that was mama's favorite song. The day she died, we were around her bed singing this. She says, mama tried her best to join in with us, but she couldn't. Her kidneys was gone. And the doctors had told her months prior, you need to get on dialysis. She says, nah, my time is over. I'm going to turn this over to my children. Ma'am, if you don't get this, you're going to die. She says, so are you going to scare me? I'm going to be with the Lord? Jesus is the reason I live. And oh, what a reason. Can you sing that today? He's the only reason I live. I met somebody the other day who says, oh, you know, my father-in-law, he works for the National Football League, and I listen. I worked for the National Football League for 6 years. I knew the number two guy in the National Football League. I can call his office and still talk to him. But that's not a rush for me. For them, it's bragging rights. We can get whatever we want. I'm like, been there, done that. My life radically changed when Jesus became my Lord and Savior. I really found out there's nothing in this world worth living for. It only leaves me empty. I'm longing for more. Listen. Jesus is the reason I live. And oh, what a reason. Jesus, you're the reason I live. And oh, what a reason. I don't care about my family's inheritance. I don't care if we have Hawaiian homestead land. All of that is null and void. But I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. I know he who can speak life into my body.
I know the one who calls us home. I'm sharing something to you. You and I, because of the blood of Jesus, we live in this glorious and endless present. Stop belly aching if you're a Christian. Get out there and live the abundant life. The blood of Jesus has spirit and life in it. The blood is made effective by the power of an eternal life. Whatever Jesus did was eternal. Whatever Jesus did was eternal. Hebrews 7:17 says, "For it is witness of him you are a priest forever after the order with the rank of Melchizedek." Melchizedek was that king that could not be found. He had no beginning and no end, same like our Lord. By the eternal spirit, the blood of Jesus has obtained an eternal, ever availing, ever fresh, independent, imperishable power of life. What? You're just born again. You just don't understand, my friend. You got this which nothing can buy. As the blood possesses its power through the Spirit, so the Spirit manifests its full power and works effectively among men only through the blood of Jesus. Religion omits the blood of Jesus. We know that the outpouring of the blood of Jesus was followed by the outpouring of the Spirit of God. There was no outpouring of the eternal Spirit in the Old Testament. Read for yourself. But they only pointed to the coming. Joel says, the day will come when God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. They never had this in the Old Testament. David never had this. Moses never had this. Abraham never had this. We have it. Amen. Jesus was not yet manifested in the Old Testament. Well, they saw theophanies of him. But he wasn't on the cross then. You know why? Because sin was not yet atoned for. God could not take up a settled abode in man's heart yet until Jesus went to the cross. Then he could pour the Spirit into us. And you have churches who tell you, Christian churches, the Holy Spirit baptism was for before, not for now. You have no life without the Spirit of God. I close by telling you this. The blood of Jesus is as real today as it was, 2,000 years ago. Yeah, he's the only reason I live. But oh, what a reason. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who have heard the word today. I ask that you would touch and that you would help bring us to where we need to be. Through Yeshua, your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.